Andrew. Everyone in her group.
The Vindicator, history reported daily.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome in and aboard to Vindy Sports Live. We are live on Vindy.com and on the Vindicator's Facebook page. My name is Corey Christen, and once again, thanks for joining us on this fine Thursday in the Valley. On today's panel, sitting to my right is one esteemed Tom Williams, and across from me, back from his trip from Spain, is Brian Zenas. Brian went and saw some really good football, non-American football, football this weekend.
Yeah, the real football.
And we'll get into your escapades over in the second segment.
And so, his outfit.
And his outfit.
And my outfit.
Is that 71 for Evgeny Malkin?
I think it's 71 for when the team was founded.
Oh, okay. And 18, no, I'm kidding.
19, yeah, we'll 19, get to that. We'll get to that.
We'll get to Brian's escapades over in Spain in the second segment. This segment, however, we want to talk a little NHL playoffs. And Tom, the surprise and the story, realistically, of the league right now is happening, you know, just a shot down the interstate from us in Columbus. The Blue Jackets, who are the second wild card and barely snuck into the Eastern Conference playoffs, are a 2-1 lead. They have a 2-1 lead over the Boston Bruins. Columbus losing game one in overtime and then taking game two in double overtime and then winning, coming back into Columbus. Now game four tonight in Columbus. And boy, if they win tonight, then this could be a really impressive run that they're going to embark onto into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, yes, but let's give credit where it's due. They knocked out the top seed, the top overall seed, Tampa Bay, and they swept them. So they're already on. I mean, they've never been in this territory before. And from what I understand, Tuesday night's game, not just what the crowd that was crazy inside the arena, but also outside of the arena, it was standing room to try and get in just to a bar just to try and watch the game and be part of that. Columbus has not had that. I think this is their 18th season in 19 years or whatever, and I don't think that they've had anything quite like this, and it's the little guy taking on the big guys, and it's sort of fascinating.
Ever since, I think, Columbus went down 3-0 in game one against Tampa Bay back in the previous series.
Right.
It was a 3-0 deficit, and then they just stormed back to win that game, and momentum has carried since then, and, you know, they've only lost one game in this entire postseason. They're 6-1.
We were juggling the TV that night because the Pens were playing same night a little bit later, and I think Janet said at one point, well, I don't think we need to watch this one anymore, and I couldn't argue with her, but then we did go back in the third period when it went crazy and Columbus started playing like Columbus. It's just fabulous that they're doing so well.
Brian, this is kind of the mystique of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and I think for Columbus too, like, I think during the regular season, you know, there was a lot of talk that this team would sell, that, you know, you have some expiring contracts, like their goalie Bobrovsky, he's Russian, and I can't pronounce his name, but they were going to sell him off, and I think when they decided to go in at the deadline, keep their stars, add to the team, I think it galvanized them a bit to kind of really buy into this.
John Tortorella is a head coach that players can buy into as well.
He can. He also has a shelf life each place he's been. And I'm not sure, but he's been around here doing this a little bit longer than maybe some of the other spots. Maybe not. I'm not sure. But he is an interesting personality. But right now, he's all Mr. Positive, and even the things that are saying. And with the Bruins, it's not that the Bruins can't come back and win tonight. Then they would regain home ice advantage for the rest of the series. It's not over by any stretch of the imagination. It's just fun that the Columbus Blue Jackets are playing well and people in Ohio are excited about hockey.
This playoffs in general has been pretty interesting given the lack of number one seeds, I guess I could say.
It's unprecedented. It's unprecedented.
It really is. Dallas beating Nashville in the first round. You had St. Louis beat Winnipeg. Colorado beat Calgary. Really the only, I guess I could say, favorites that have made it are San Jose and New York, the New York Islanders. And even so, the Islanders and the Penguins, you know, that was kind of an evenly matched series going in, at least.
Yeah, until they started playing, yeah. and then it went all downhill for Pittsburgh. Yeah. And see, that's the beauty of the NHL playoffs. The home ice advantage, it means something, but not as much as the NBA, the home court. You pretty much know what's going to happen in an NBA playoff game in late April and early May. When you start getting the conference finals, maybe it starts getting a little bit, the finals, it gets a little trickier and stuff. But when you're a one seed against an eight seed, it's just, but the NHL, it's the first time all four division winners went out in the first round. I mean, if you like craziness, again, if you're a fan of those teams, you're not happy about this, but if you like craziness, you can't do better in the NHL playoffs.
I dig craziness.
You dig craziness?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Brad Marchand?
I think he's not a nice guy.
Dirty's a word.
Yeah, dirty is a word. You know, creepy. You know, his face is creepy. He licked a dude last year, and that's not right. You should go to jail for that. I'm serious. It's a crime. Go lick somebody on the street if you think... No. That's just something that you can do. Yeah.
I'm good.
Would you see the hit that he did the other
night? Yeah, he cross-checked the dude in the head while he was kneeling on the ice. It's just
during a break and play.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah. I'm just gonna throw it out. Every hit to the head in the NHL should be a penalty.
But Gary Bettman said today he can't do that because they'd have to change the game if they took that out.
Gary Bettman is very Marchand-like. He is a weasel.
If there was another success story to rave about in the NHL playoffs, it's the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, I'm not partial to them because of their owner, but we could be looking
triggered.
I am. We could be looking at a Blue Jackets, and I'll explain why. Blue Jackets versus Hurricanes East Finals, which if you put, you know, money in the bank on a Eastern Finals preview before the season started.
Those two teams?
Either of those two teams. Yeah. You probably wouldn't have said either of those two teams.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would be a 7 seed versus an 8 seed. And I don't think that's ever happened in anything that I have no memory of something like that. I mean, usually a good team is there and hanging around, has home ice and so on. And Carolina would have home ice advantage because they slipped in as they were the 4th place team in the Metro, and the Blue Jackets were the 5th place team, but they got the second wild card spot because they were better than whoever was 4th in the Atlantic. And that would just be, I mean, for two franchises, I mean, Carolina won the Cup in 2006, so they have that.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets had never won a playoff series till they knocked out the Lightning, so they're uncharted territory. I think it's great.
If there was a time to win a playoff series, it was this one. And also another interesting thing of note, the remaining playoff teams, Dallas, St. Louis, Colorado, San Jose, New York, Carolina, Boston, Columbus. No Canadian teams. The Stanley Cup remains in the United States for, I believe, it's getting on 2 decades now. It's approaching 2 decades.
No, it's past that. It's past
that. Is it really?
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To think that Canada's game, if you will.
I brought that up with the Canadian tourist in Spain, and they didn't like that.
They didn't take too kindly to it.
No.
By the way, I'm not on the Hurricanes wagon because their owner's Tom Dundon, and that's who led to the demise of the Alliance of American Football. He took my spring football away, and I'm all in on the conspiracy theory that he worked with Vince McMahon to dismantle that league.
Yeah, in fairness to you two, I think it was the Montreal Canadiens winning in 93 was the last time a team in Canada won. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was it.
25 years then.
And since you guys were very, very, very young that year, you probably weren't watching.
26 years, I should say.
Yeah.
That's pretty unreal. And like you said, this playoffs has been unprecedented. That stat alone, that fact alone is unprecedented.
And that was the year that it looked like if Gretzky was going to win one with the Kings, they won the first game, they had a lead late, and they challenged Marty McSorley's stick, and they got a penalty out of it, tied the game, won in overtime, and then the Kings lost the three after that, and that was it. But that was his one shot with once he had left Edmonton, his best shot at winning another cup.
We'll continue the hockey discussion in the third segment because, Tom, we are sitting down with the Youngstown Phantoms. A few players are going to come in the studio, and the Phantoms were a playoff team this year as well. Things didn't work out the way they planned, but we'll sit down with a few of the players in the third segment.
Get that debrief.
We'll get the debrief. The wrap-up, if you will, on everything. We're going to take a break here on Vindy Sports Live, and when we come back, Cleveland Indians ace Corey Kluber is down with an arm injury. We'll explain how that happened and how long he could be out and what replacements could be on the way for him in Cleveland. We'll be right back. This is Vindy Sports Live.
The Vindicator. History reported daily.
Brian Zenis here with a Vindy Sports Live sidebar. I'm back in North America after a little bit of time away, and that was a lot of fun. This weekend, though, jumping right back into things, is the Horizon League Track and Field Outdoor Championships this weekend at YSU. They start on Friday and run through Sunday. The women's track and field team will be going for its sixth straight title, while the men's team will be looking for its third title in the last 4 years, and it will also be their second triple crown in 3 years. Now, a triple crown is when you win the cross-country conference title, the indoor tracks conference title, and now they will be going for the outdoor conference title. For the men, you know, obviously, the big storyline this week is this will be the start of the last postseason run for Chad Zallo, the Penguins hurdler, you know, who's also a Warren JFK grad. He's a senior now, and he is looking to close out, you know, what's been an amazing career at YSU, looking to get his, you know, seventh All-American honors, one of the fastest guys in the nation. Already, you know, looking at he could possibly be in the Pan American Games this August. He could also, you know, turn pro and run, you know, basically run track, you know, for a living. You can read more about that in Friday's Vindicator and on Vindy.com. On the women's side, sprinter Julia Elliott's, you know, had a really good, you know, April so far. She, you know, she's coming off of a win at the Penn Relay, so she's looking really strong going into this weekend. This has been a Vindy Sports Live sidebar from me, Brian Zenis.
Vindy Wheels, redesigned for print, online, and mobile with thousands of local rides. It's a no-pressure way to find your next vehicle or to sell your old one. At home or on the road, it's all local all the time. VindyWheels.com.
Need cash? Place a garage sale ad in the Vindicator. Get a free garage sale kit when you call Classifieds now. 330-746-6565, option 4, or email classifieds@vindy.com.
Welcome back to Vindy Sports Live. Corey Crissett, Tom Williams, and Brian Zenis here with you today. We're shifting our focus to the diamond, and unfortunately for the Cleveland Indians, gentlemen, their ace has gone down with an arm injury. Corey Kluber was hit by a line drive yesterday off the bat of Miami Marlins infielder Brian Anderson, a 102-mile-an-hour comebacker that caught him in the forearm, and the reports are saying that he has a fracture in his right ulna, which is a fancy word for forearm. And Kluber was getting reevaluated today in Cleveland. We'll hear the report back tomorrow. But, gentlemen, this is a significant blow to the Indians, first of all. But, second of all, it's an arm injury that could sideline him for months. And with Mike Clevinger already out of the rotation, not many options to call up in AAA. This adds a whole new blanket of fuel into the fire right now for the Indians.
Corey, do you feel like taking bets on how many people we see from the scrappers up, you know, with the Indians?
Well, let's see. How many are there
if they,
now?
If they have to go all the way that far down to find some help.
Oh, my goodness. There's a bed of injuries, not just with the big league club, but also in AAA with that in Plutko, with Tristan McKenzie in AA. I mean, the injury bug has really caught the Indians this year in a year where it probably couldn't have happened. This could not have happened at a worse time because, you know, the offseason, a lot of fans question the front office's decisions to not sign free agents and not, you know, trade for whoever. And now it's like, well, the Indians were relying on their starting rotation, and now two of their five are down for a significant amount of time.
It's looking pretty dicey. I mean, it's, like, pretty frightening. I mean, it's like the almost scary, like that live-action Sonic that's, you know, coming out on the silver screen.
That preview was scary.
That was horrifying.
But Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik should be interesting.
But, like, the hedgehog has human teeth.
Yeah, I saw that. That was scary. Tom, when I look...
What language are you speaking?
Tom, just for a quick background for the listeners, Tom is the resident cinephile of The Vindicator. He watches every Best Picture nominee for the Oscars every year, and I think, Tom, you need to catch this Sonic the Hedgehog
movie,
because that's going to be in that mix.
Okay. Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik,
I could see. Corey, as an Indians fan, they wouldn't spend money. The Indians owners did not invest money in the offseason and sort of indicated they're not going to give Lindor the contract that he's going to be deserving of not too distant future.
Yep.
Do you think they're going to change anything here, or do you think that they look at the AL Central and just think, we can still win it?
I don't know how long the concept of the Indians are in a bad division can take them. I don't know how much longer that can last, because the Twins, as of right now, and I know the Indians have had their best start throughout April in the Terry Francona era, but the point is the Indians are still in second place in the AL Central. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how long Minnesota can sustain success. I don't know how long the Twins are going to be in first place. I don't know if it's the full season or if this is just a flash in the pan, but what I do know is that two-fifths of the Indians' rotation, which was the kingpin of the American League, is now gone. Mm-hmm. And the options that were supposed to replace any injuries, should there be any, at least from the beginning of the season, are also hurt. So the Indians have to look to outer options like Chi Wei Hu, like Xiao-Ching Chang, like Asher Wojciechowski, who are in AAA right now. Those are all real names.
Good on you for remembering them.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna take your word for it that you pronounced the names right.
I did. Xiao-Ching Chang was a scrapper at one point.
Okay.
There you go.
But when I look at the options for the Indians, it's sign somebody or bring someone up from AAA. And Paul Dolan, as you mentioned with Lindor at least, he's basically said, we're kind of done signing people. It's going to be hard to sign people. And Dallas Keuchel's a name that's on the free agent market, so I don't know if they'd be compelled to get him.
You don't want to hear this, but I...
No Indians fan wants
to. If they go out and sign somebody, I'd be very surprised. Because I think they're looking at last year, they dominated the division, ran away with it, and then it was a three-game sweep by the Astros, and then the one home game that they got for it, I forget what the final was. It seemed like it was like 11-2 or something like that. I know that people were leaving long before it was over, and that was all that they had to show for it. I don't know that he's going
to
commit that kind of money for what, even
if
you win the division, and then you face the teams from the East and the West that are seemingly better. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if they sign somebody.
And now fans are kind of in despair over the fact that Corey Kluber is a free agent in 2022, and there's been talks about re-upping his contract or rather trading him, you know, while his contract's still there and he's still hot as one of the best starting pitchers in the American League. But now the Indians, for what they have, they have to rely on Trevor Bauer, they have to rely on Carlos Carrasco, and they have to rely on Shane Bieber for now and then kind of figure out the 4 and 5. Brian, I want to transition to this real quick before we take a break here. And you took a nice vacation.
I did.
A long vacation.
I did.
Corey, Brian was not here 2 weeks ago to wish us all a happy Good Friday. It's
true.
A Brian tradition, and he was not here for it. But you were in Spain.
I was.
And you got to meet new people to share your greeting with.
And you picked up that nice soccer kit?
Yes.
Football kit, if you will?
I did, off the clearance rack at second-tier Alcorcón.
You didn't have to tell us that.
Yeah.
But tell us about your adventures and what you saw. I know you went to plenty of over-there football.
I saw eight football games in 12 days. Did Alcorcón, that was the first game. Mm-hmm. Rayo Vallecano, which was the last place team in the Liga.
We'll
Real
take
Madrid.
Your word for it.
What?
We'll take your word for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. He's the expert on it.
I am the expert. Real Madrid at home. We had to rent a car and drive out into the sticks. I sent some pictures to Tom because I thought, you know, the Spanish countryside was a little bit like Colombiana County, you know, in terms of, you know, all the farm animals.
We
and
know
things.
How big you are, Colombiana.
Yeah. And to Valladolid. Then we went back to Madrid. Want to see Atletico Madrid in Wanda Metropolitano. That team stood out for having a mascot that is a raccoon in a Native American headdress.
Oh, I don't have that here.
Yeah, we don't have that here. We have raccoons in trash cans out here. and then we have, shout out to the Trash Pandas.
The Trash Pandas.
Okay, and then we had, I saw Barcelona clinch the La Liga title.
That's impressive in itself. You got to see FC Barcelona play.
Yes. We braved their hideous ticketing process to see Lionel Messi score a goal and them to bring out the La Liga trophy.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it.
And then we closed it out at Girona.
How good is your Spanish? Are you pretty fluent?
I qualified for intermediate Spanish in college. I think I forgot all of it. I will say that I could ask where things are, and I understood the swear words. I think, you know, and that got me around.
Usually
yeah, they were the really important things.
When you're an American going into something as unfamiliar as that, I mean, are you self-conscious at all that you're surrounded by people that maybe are going to pick up that you're from somewhere else, or was it not an issue?
It's not an issue, and the fact that I'm surrounded by people that aren't like me is sort of the appeal of it. Like going to sporting events in a foreign country, I think is like an awesome thing to do, is because it's not really they don't market it as like a tourist thing to do. Like
or an event.
Yeah. Like you have to, it forces you to engage with a culture on its level. Like it's not going to, it's not going to change what it does to accommodate you. You have to meet it, you know, where it is.
And it's like, let me put it this way. Fans will sit there and enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Instead of sit on their phones or go get a hot dog and stand in line for a couple of minutes.
Stand up and sing, and people stand up and heckle and all that stuff. I would say Spain is a little bit more laid back than some of the places I've been. You know, I think, you know, maybe,
yeah, you've been other places in Europe before, right?
I have seen soccer games in, I believe, 12 or 13 different countries now over the last 4 years.
All in Europe or somewhere else as well?
All in Europe. Obviously not including the United States, because obviously I've seen games here.
Yeah. Brian, welcome back. And the crew are saved, so there you go. The crew have been saved.
Yeah.
They're a good team to watch if you're among the MLS circuit. Good to have you back,
yes,
Brian. And
did you miss us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure you did.
Good answer. Kyle, our technical producer, laughs in the background behind your back.
Yeah.
As you can see that. We're going to take a break here on Vindy Sports Live. And when we come back, our Tom Williams is going to take this chair, and he's going to field questions to the Youngstown Phantoms. A few select players from the Phantoms are coming in studio live here on Vindy Sports Live. You're not going to want to miss that conversation. We'll be right back.
In the market to buy, sell, or rent a home? Check out Vindy Homes every Sunday in the Vindicator on Vindy.com or mobile. Every week, you'll find local feature homes for sale and the best area real estate listings, weekly real estate transactions, remodeling tips, apartment directories, and more. Pick up your copy of Vindy Homes this week. Log on to Vindy.com or call 330-746-6561 to subscribe today. 330-746-6561.
Need a job? Looking for employees? Visit the number one website for local jobs, VindyJobs.com. With automated search alerts, resume building tools, social media integrations, and mobile access, it's easy to find the right job or employee with VindyJobs.com.
Hey everyone, Corey Christen here for your Vindy Sports Live sidebar. The Cleveland Indians and Corey Kluber received probably the worst of the worst news that they could have expected yesterday. Kluber took a 102-mile-per-hour screaming line drive off the bat of Brian Anderson into the forearm and his throwing arm yesterday against the Miami Marlins, and the x-rays came back positive, unfortunately. Kluber was diagnosed with a fractured right forearm, and according to multiple medical websites, and I'm no doctor, it could take 3 to 4 weeks alone in a cast for Kluber to get that arm bone healed up. Now, from that point, how long is it going to take Kluber to get back into throwing regimens and back on a mound? Point is, Corey Kluber could be out a couple of months. And while Mike Clevinger sustained an injury and is missing quite a few months, the once stronghold of the Cleveland Indians, that starting rotation, is missing two-fifths of its key members. And while the Indians spent the offseason looking for outfield help and bullpen help and help in every other area, they now have to turn and look to find starting pitchers to replace now two of those arms. For your Vindy Sports Live sidebar, I'm Corey Christen.
Everyone in her group.
The Vindicator. History reported daily.
Welcome back to Vindy Sports Live. My guests this afternoon are three members of the Youngstown Phantoms. To my right is John Larkin, defenseman. And on the other side of the table are forwards Trevor Kuntar and, I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to try Arseniy Smeknov?
Smeknov.
I butchered it. Yeah, I did. Thanks, guys, for coming by stopping by to talk a little bit of hockey.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Let's start a little bit. John, your hometown is near
North
Detroit?
North Michigan.
Okay.
So I'm like maybe 25 minutes from Detroit, so okay. Right around that area. Yeah.
And Trevor, your hometown is near Buffalo?
Yeah, Williamsville, New York, about 30 minutes from Buffalo.
And Arseniy comes the furthest away from us.
Kirov, Russia.
But you've been in the United States for
4 years.
4 years. Now, all three of my guests are students at Ursuline High School. Trevor and John are going to be graduating at the end of this month, right?
Yep.
And Arseniy, you're a junior, so you'll have one more year when you come back next year. You'll be a student at Ursuline. Uh-huh. Trevor, Ursuline, what's it been like playing hockey here and being a student?
Oh, it's definitely been busy, but it's been a great experience all around. We've met a lot of new kids, and it's school. It's tough getting up at 7 in the morning and then skating right after, but it's been a really good experience, and I think it's going to benefit down the road.
Arseniy, has it been hard coming to the United States, English and everything, or how has that gone for you?
It was definitely hard my first year in the United States, but then last year I played at prep school, so it kind of helped me out.
Okay.
And yeah, this year wasn't that hard for me.
And John, for you, when you found out that Ursuline was a possibility to go to, what made you decide to go ahead and enroll?
Yeah, I've always been sent to like Catholic school growing up my whole life. I spent my first 3 years of high school at like all boys Catholic school down in Detroit, and so you know it's always been kind of where I've attended, and so it was a no-brainer to go to Ursuline. You know, I came down the year before, not this year, but the year before, and okay. Kind of looked around at the school. I saw, you know, everyone was so welcoming. The staff was really good, and so I just thought I would fit in well here.
So with the season over, you're still staying with your billet families, right?
Yeah.
Trevor, who's your billet family?
Mike and Lisa Slanina. We live just outside of Boardman, off of Market Street.
Okay.
I stay with Trevor, so.
Okay.
The same family.
And I live in Canfield with Kim and Ray Orlovsky.
Okay.
So it's a good time. Yeah. Enjoy their company. Yeah.
It's great that there are families that I imagine it's much better to come here and you have a family that you're staying with and you feel part of the group.
Sure. Yeah. It's a lot more comfortable. It's a lot easier to get around and do your own thing. So.
Yeah. At this time of the year, now the Phantoms will hold a tryout camp for next year's team. Usually it's in June. Is that what they're doing this year?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you know what the schedule is?
I'm not 100% positive, but I think it's June 12th through the 16th this year.
Okay. And it'll be out at the Deep Freeze.
No.
I think it's in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah. Oh, over at the Lemieux complex?
Not at the Lemieux complex, but I think I heard it's south of Pittsburgh maybe, like 30 minutes, but it's around that area. I'm not sure what the arena is. Yeah.
Okay. So, but it'll be in June. So at this time of the year, with the season over, that coming up, how often do you go on the ice at this point? Do you take a little break? Or?
Yeah, we've all taken a little break. I haven't skated since our last game, but I went on vacation to Punta Cana last week, so that was a nice little vacation.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. How about for you? Have you been on the ice? Or?
Yeah, I've skated with my billet family a couple times.
Okay.
Just not like practicing, but just like skating.
Yeah.
But when I'm going to go get back to Colorado, I'm going to start skating again.
Okay.
And get ready for the next season.
And John?
Yeah, and then I was back home for spring break. And I hopped on the ice a few times because I played in a charity game back home.
Okay.
But other than that, I haven't. It's, you know, just a little bit of ice time here and there, but take a couple weeks off and hit, you know, go into the gym and then skate a good amount.
Okay, so introducing you guys, I totally missed out on college, your college commitments. Ohio State for John.
Yes.
Connecticut for Sonny. And Harvard, this guy. Yeah. Gotta watch this guy. Harvard, watch out. Trevor, right?
The brains.
For Ohio State, for you, what was it that, you're from Michigan, was it for you to go to Ohio State?
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, my dad went to U of M, so I don't think a lot of people were expecting it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, when I went down and took a visitor on campus, it was, I couldn't believe how nice the campus was and how much the coaches were there for their players. And when I personally went down to visit, they had their whole staff there, you know, explained everything to me, showed me around, and it showed like how much they wanted me to be there. And so I felt like that's where I really should be going, where I fit in well. So. Yeah, sounds good.
Arsene, how about with Connecticut? What did you like about?
So it was my first offer. It was my U14 year, I believe, U15 maybe. And I literally didn't know anything about college hockey because I just came from Russia.
Right.
But when I visit UConn, I literally just fell in love with that place. I like the coach staff. I like the facility. Like, everything was perfect. So I decided that I want to go to that school.
Harvard presents a tremendous academic challenge, but you're ready to embrace that, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to go there because of the, I thought the coaches really believed in me and they recruited me pretty hard. And the city of Boston has to be my favorite city, and the campus is awesome. And it's just a great atmosphere for sports as well as academics too.
Now, next year when you're on the Phantoms, are you going to do any early online things with Ohio State or with Harvard, or is that just something that when you get there the following fall that you'll
I don't think the team, like our hockey team, requires, or even the colleges require, but I think a lot of schools you can take a couple online courses and get some credits out of the way. And so I think I'm gonna take a couple classes online next year, so that'll be nice.
You're gonna do the same thing? Yeah, because I would think that would help for when you finally get there and you're going to have that course load that's going to help. That would help you make the transition to that. Let's talk a little bit about the NHL. Have you guys been following the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah,
a little bit. Very crazy this year.
How crazy is this year where the Eastern Conference Final might be a 7 seed against an 8 seed if Carolina and Columbus advance?
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, I made a bracket, and I only got one series right in the first round. So
mine looked like yours.
Yeah, so. I didn't get one right.
I got 2 right coming out of the first round. So
now your teams, your favorite teams, are all out: Red Wings, Tampa Bay Lightning, and
Sabres.
So have you, just for the fun of it, have you adopted a team that you're for at this point just to see how far they can get, or are you just waiting to see what the final is?
I would love to see San Jose win the Stanley Cup this year.
How come San Jose?
Because I think Joe Thornton deserves a Stanley Cup, and he's almost at the end of his career, so I'd love to see that.
And you love the beard.
Yeah, love the beard. Yeah.
Do you have somebody?
I just want to see Columbus in the finals.
Okay.
Just a great team. I love the goalie, too. Russian guy.
Good point.
Yeah.
And as a Red Wings fan, is there?
I think Carolina's really well. They're hot right now. I could see them going pretty far. So,
okay. So, last night in the Carolina Islanders game, one of the Islanders scored a goal.
I saw that.
I think it was Josh Bailey, and then he went over to the goalie, Curtis McElhinney, and he patted him. As he was skating by, he patted him on the head. Yeah. If that happened at the USHL level, Curtis took it and didn't he didn't retaliate or something. There was a little bit of shoving afterwards. Would that happen in the USHL, or what would happen at with what you guys have been doing?
I think there would probably be a fight right after that, honestly.
I think it kind of looked like, I think it was Dougie Hamilton. I don't know if he really saw it or barely caught a glimpse of it, so I think he didn't really notice it happen, but I think if some guy sees that, then there's going to be a huge fight.
And it wasn't to hurt him. It was more of a mocking thing, right? But I the reaction to it, I was just a little bit surprised that was it. Okay, on Tuesday in the Columbus Bruins game, Brad Marchand, who has a history of doing some questionable things, you saw that it was a break in the action. I think it was Scott Harrington was on his knees for the Blue Jackets, and Marchand came up behind him and sort of cross-checked the back of his neck.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Why do you do that?
He's chippy.
That's just what he does.
Yeah, that's just,
he's an agitator.
Have you ever done anything like that?
Probably not.
No. Would your coaching staff be happy with you if you did? I mean, he didn't get penalized, but
I don't know if they'd be happy with it, but I know they'd definitely be pretty upset if you go sit in the box for 2 minutes after doing something like that. So.
Yeah, especially when you're playing in the game. The series was tied at that point,
and it was
a big game and a tight game, and you're on the road on top of it.
Yeah.
NHL players, is there anybody you really like?
My favorite player is Jamie Benn. I just love the way he plays, and he's tough, and he knows how to score goals, too.
He's on Dallas.
Yeah.
And they're doing well right now. They're one of the teams in the West still alive. In fact, they might play San Jose, and San Jose in the next round.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Bobrovsky. What is it about seeing somebody from your home country here doing well?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everyone's dream to be on the NHL, and I'm happy to see like Russian players getting it and doing their best.
So when Ovi won the cup last year and had a party that went on all summer, I mean, that had to be pretty.
Awesome.
I mean, it wasn't just Ovi. It was also Kuznetsov.
Mm-hmm.
That Kuznetsov. As well, you know, having. But even still, that had to be big for. I mean, Ovi's been one of the NHL, the face of one of the NHL for some time now, and for him to finally get that had to be big. What about for you, player?
I really like. I'm a defenseman, so I really like Duncan Keith and Erik Karlsson. They're both kind of like two-way defensemen.
Yeah.
You know, and they show like unbelievable poise with the puck when they have it at the back end. The amount of skill that those guys have are unreal, so it's pretty cool watching them play.
Well, guys, thank you very much for stopping by. I know you got homework and all that
stuff.
School's winding down and everything, but it's great you're here still in the Mahoning Valley finishing up the school year. And you represent your team really well, and we're really glad that you guys are here. So,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, that wraps it up for this edition of Vindy Sports Live. I'm Tom Williams. We'll talk to you guys next week.